Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today we hear the account of Jesus' return to the Decapolis, which is the 10 cities in Gentile territory, not the sort of place you would expect to find an upright standing Jewish Messiah. But then again, Jesus never fit the profile of a proper Jewish Messiah. You know the account of Jesus' first visit to this area well, even if it doesn't come to your mind right off the top of your head. Jesus comes upon a man, you remember, who was possessed by so many demons that they called their name Legion. And he cast them out into the pigs, and the pigs then jump off the cliff and drown in the sea. And the townspeople say to Jesus, you can go now. I told you, you remembered it, right? But nevertheless, word of Jesus still spread about his power over demons and disease and even death. So rather than having guards waiting at city entrances to keep Jesus from coming in, the people were actually seeking him out. Maybe you've noticed the last couple of weeks as we've been in Mark's gospel how Jesus has progressed in the past. He has rebuked the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. He declared all foods clean because it is what comes out of the heart that defiles, not what goes into the mouth. And now Jesus is showing that even the Gentiles are included in God's provision. Perhaps you also notice how the religious leaders are rebuked and defeated by Jesus. Yet the simple, helpless, faith-filled prayer of a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman, at that is rewarded. Mind you, Phoenicia is a Greek word for Canaanite. So she's a Syrian, a Canaanite. And had the Israelites carried out their charge when they went into the Promised Land, she would not have existed. But did you also notice the mute is brought by friends to Jesus? The man who is deaf with the speech impediment. That's what we call evangelism. It's really that simple. No need for a team or committee or board. It's just one person who has faith in Jesus, a poor, miserable sinner like any of us, bringing another person who needs faith in Jesus to where Jesus has promised to be. That's what we as Christians do, or at least should do. And I promise you, neither I nor Pastor Rafa will stick our fingers in their ears. And if they stick out their tongue, he might not, but I'm prone to grab. But can you imagine? These men bring this deaf man with a speech impediment to Jesus and says, just lay your hands on him. And Jesus takes him aside and goes, and then spits and grabs his tongue. Well, we just asked for the hand touching thing. We didn't ask for this thing. At least it wasn't a wet willy, right? He didn't spit and then put his fingers in the ear. Yet, in a way, that's exactly what Jesus does for us, right here. He wants to stick his word right in our ears, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. It is then that the Holy Spirit will loosen our tongues to sing and to speak his praise. So don't forget, Jesus is the one who does all things well for you. Even when you don't feel it or see it, Jesus is doing. When Jesus touched someone, whether it was with his word or with his hands, they are touched by God, touched by his own creative word and his own creative hands. For God stepped down from his glory in heaven to step into human flesh, to dwell among us and to touch us through his own sinless humanity. speaking, fingers and ears and spitting and grabbing tongues and all that is necessary. He is God who deals with us in us human creatures that we are. None of this out-of-body spiritual mumbo-jumbo that continues to keep circling back. I keep hoping that it will go down the drain, but it's just like a toilet that won't flush. God deals with us in the grubby, ordinary, earthy, everyday way of our human existence. So what does Jesus do? He looked up to heaven and spoke as if it was to say, that's where your help comes from. He was saying to them, your help comes from God. I have come to bring God to you. He is the one, the mediator between God and man. He prays for us. He intercedes for us. He touches us with God's touch. Jesus sighs and he groans. He knows how deep our very brokenness is and what price he'll have to pay to fix it. He knows the cost of this healing. It's a beating. It's being rejected. It's being placed on a Roman cross. Having the crown of thorns put upon your head, mocked and spit upon and killed. He knows our human suffering and our sorrow. He knows our weakness. Finally, Jesus just speaks. For the mother, it's a rather beautiful statement. For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. Right? After he had just said to her, it's not right to give the food for the children, the bread for the children to the dogs. Now it is important to understand that when he said dogs, he's not calling her a stray mutt, and he's not calling her a wild animal. He's calling her, the term used there in the Greek is for a house pet. And so she jumps upon that very thing. I'm included in the house. Now feed me. Take care of me. That's exactly what we do in confession and absolution. We confess our sins. We come before God and we confess we don't deserve even the scraps that fall from the table because we are poor, miserable sinners. And then he absolves us. He gives us, just like he gave her, much more than scraps. Then to the man with the speech impediment and the hearing, and who's deaf. Mark includes the Aramaic for us. Ephatha, be opened. Jesus is releasing him from everything that holds him bound and captive. That's what absolution declares to you. Ephatha, be opened. Your sins are released. Jesus came to proclaim release to all the captives. To those who are bound in sin and death, he came to speak his liberating word. This word of Jesus is living and active, spirit and life. His word can fall on a demon and they flee. His word falls on deaf ears and causes them to hear. His word falls on mute tongues and causes them to speak. At the sound of Jesus' word, Ephatha, the man's ears could hear and his tongue was freed and he spoke plainly and clearly. Mark doesn't bother to tell us what he said. His attention instead is always focused on Jesus, not even on the miracles as much or those who receive them. All we know is that he spoke plainly and coherently. His ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and there was a little girl that had a demon removed from her. And the more Jesus told them to shut up, the more they talked. The more they told. It's ironic, isn't it? Since he loosed a man's tongue and restored a daughter, the woman's daughter, and then he tells them not to speak. The man can speak clearly and Jesus tries to put a gag order on him. It's almost as if it's Palm Sunday, and he's saying to the Pharisees and Sadducees, if they don't cry out, even the rocks will. But you see, Jesus wants to be much more than a temporal cure. He wants to be much more than an exorcist or a ear, nose, and throat specialist. And if that's all we got out of this, then we miss the point of who Jesus is. Jesus is not a quick remedy for our best lives now. Jesus instead is our Lord and Savior. He has put our focus not on earthly things, but rather on heavenly. The Apostle Paul said that if our hope in this life is only in Christ, in this life, then we are to be pitied above all people. That is, if all we look to Jesus for is solutions for our earthly problems, Lord, have mercy on each and every one of us. You see, there was more to Jesus' miracles. The miracles were signs that God had come to us to touch us. This is what Isaiah was prophesying. Your God will come and save you. Then then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. This is the fulfillment. God came in Jesus the Christ. He came to save us by absorbing into Himself all our sin and all evil and brokenness, all that has gone wrong with us, all that had come into the creation because of the fall. He came to take up our sickness and our disease into His own body, to battle the demons that darken our lives, to take up devastation that crushes us. He came to unchain us from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. He came to bring us into His new creation with His own dying and rising. A new creation in which blind eyes see and mute tongues speak and lame leap and water flows in dry places. That's why Jesus didn't want anyone to say anything about what happened. It was simply too small a thing and too soon. There was much more of Jesus to come. His death on the cross, His empty tomb, His ascension to glory, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and as we await even today, His return. You see, on Pentecost, when the Spirit comes upon Him, upon the disciples, they would speak plainly too. They just would not be told to be quiet. Yet the people of the Decapolis told everyone about what happened. The more He charged, the more zealous they became. I wonder if the Senate's ever tried that for an evangelism program. Don't share the gospel. Oh, I got to tell you this. Maybe it would work. You never know. Yet we have much more to say about Jesus than they did. Greater even than casting out demons and making ears and tongues work again. Jesus had died for us and rose from the dead for us and reigns over all things for us. He holds His death and resurrection over sin and death for us. Now that's something we can all talk about, right? Jesus has sent Ephatha to us in baptism. He opened our ears to hear His word. He anointed our tongues to sing His praise and to pray to Him and to proclaim Him. And He continues to put His forgiveness into our ears, His body and blood on our tongues, His word in our minds and our hearts, in the same earthly incarnate way of fingers and ears and tongues being grabbed. We have Sunday school today. I look forward to seeing the children head that way in confirmation classes. Just know this, that as your pastor, one of your pastors, your other pastor is doing the same, I guarantee it. We are praying for you. Parents and teachers, you've been given a holy calling to train the ears and tongues of the little ones. That's why I always smile when I hear them singing in church. It's wonderful. You are teaching them to use their ears to listen to God. You are teaching them to use their tongues to praise and pray. Such teaching is holy work. We thank God for our parents and teachers and grandparents, and we have to, as a congregation, pledge our prayers and our support to them. And remember, it is Jesus who is at work in and through you. So let us never forget Jesus is the one who returns children from the bonds of the devil. He is the one who opens ears and loose tongues. Jesus even forgives sinners like you and me, and he gives eternal life to us. Trust Jesus. They spoke rightly. He does all things well. In Jesus' name, amen.